Hello and welcome to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. This is Dave Jeffrey with you today in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. Welcome to the Christmas New Year edition. It's possible good news for Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race fans. And we ask the question, ever need a friendly listening ear? Well, it's not too far away. And fellas, sex after prostate removal. This is an important one. First up today, it's possible good news for Sydney to Hobart Yachty fans. This was in the Sydney Telegraph on Monday the 21st of October. Written by Amanda Lillam, it says race officials are considering running another Blue Water Classic in New South Wales for skippers and crews who've missed out on the big race. The famous Boxing Day Ocean Race has been cancelled for the first time in 76 years. Cruising Yacht Club of Australia Commodore Noel Cornish confirmed his club was keen to conduct a race in the new year for sailors who'd missed out on the big one. It's been quashed by the growing COVID-19 cluster. This is happening up on the northern beaches and subsequent border crossings are restricted. Cornish, who said he was hollow and disappointed the race had been cancelled. He commented that any alternative would only be run if it was determined safe by the New South Wales government health requirements. He said, as a sailing club, we're enthusiastic to try and run as many races as we can. If it's possible to have an alternative race in the new year for crews, we'd be most enthusiastic. He said, we'll look at putting an ocean race on depending on government guidelines. We'd like to put a Blue Water Classic on and race with some sort of overnight component. Cornish also confirmed that race officials had looked at postponing the 76th Sydney to Hobart by 2 days and running a race which started and finished in Sydney, also delaying the start to Australia Day. He said, we thought about how we could do something like the Sydney to Hobart race, or some other location in New South Wales waters. But he said the concern was we've been asked by the New South Wales government to minimise travel. We don't want people moving around. We want to stop the virus transmission, he said. A fleet of 74 yachts was scheduled to have started the 629 nautical mile race. But it appeared doomed recently. That's when Tasmania banned travellers from the northern beaches, where about 150 of the sailors from. Well, there you are, he's saying possibly start around Australia Day, and they want to get a race couple of days with an overnight component. Let's hope it happens. Ever feel like you need a friendly, listening ear? Well, it might not be so far away. It's just a call away, and this is taken from the Senior newspaper, December edition. It's a great voluntary service as well. You may feel lonely, but you're not alone. That's the message behind a free helpline called Listening Ear. It's staffed by trained volunteers from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. It's a non-crisis helpline listening ear. It was founded by Dr. Paul Finlayson in 1979. Then he called it Dial a Mum. Well, the service has evolved into a broader helpline. The name was changed last year to reflect this. Listening Ear President Georgie Wallace said it can make a huge difference just sharing your concerns with someone. That is, someone who understands where you are coming from. She said it can be a lonely world out there, particularly if you live by yourself or you've had a loss. Ms. Wallace said the older people often feel more isolated than the younger ones. They're worried about detachment from their families, maybe health issues, especially with COVID. She said others are concerned about their children or their grandchildren. Maybe do they have enough money to get by? Older people tend to be more stoic than the younger ones. They're more private, but you can pick them between the lines here. She said, I had a woman call me recently to tell me she'd bought a new pair of shoes. But it wasn't hard to tell that she was lonely. She just wanted someone to talk to. Listening Ear is also looking for volunteers. Training is 3 mornings over 3 weeks. It's followed by at least 1 4-hour shift per week with a mentor. Volunteers also meet fortnightly, and of course currently they're doing this by Zoom. Okay, let's have a look at the details there. They're looking for volunteers. There's a number. It doesn't say, but I presume it's a Sydney number. So let's look at 02-9477-6777. There's also a website, simply listeningear.org.au. So I'd like to find out more about this, maybe for yourself, a listening ear, or if you'd like to volunteer, give them a call, 02-9477-6777, or the website, listeningear.org.au. Okay, fellas, now this is important. Sex after prostate removal. Let's talk about it. This also came from the senior magazine. It's the Health Life section. Prostate cancer patients need to be better informed. They need to learn about support and treatment options. Now, this is an amazing statistic. 8 in 10 men experience sexual problems after having their prostate removed. New research led by the Cancer Council New South Wales has found that more than 80% of men who've had radical prostate surgery experienced erectile dysfunction. The study followed more than 2,000 men for up to 15 years. What it found was amazing. It found that 83% of those who'd had non-nerve-sparing radical prostatectomy surgery reported high levels of erectile dysfunction. This was compared with 62% in an active surveillance group and 43% of men at the same age without prostate cancer. It also found that 27% of those who had surgery for localized prostate cancer reported persistent urinary incontinence. This is notably higher compared to those having other forms of treatment. Cancer Council New South Wales, head of prostate cancer research, that is Associate Professor David Smith, said the findings showed the impact of a diagnosis. This often extended beyond short-term clinical outcomes. It highlighted the need for improved patient care and informed choices. He said men who've had prostate cancer surgery often think side effects that they experienced, such as reduced sexual function, are normal signs of aging. But our study showed us to compare patients and survivors with a group of aging men without cancer. He said the quality of life and the differences were striking, particularly for men who'd surgery to remove their prostate. Men need to know that they have options in treatment decisions and support services, he said. He went on to say, when it comes to ensuring best treatment outcomes, including longer quality of life, it is essential that men can weigh up the risks. They must also look at the benefits of a decision in consultation with their doctors. David went on to say radical prostate surgery can be the best and only option for some men with prostate cancer. There are, however, other options. Now, this is important. Other options. He said it depends on pathology, staging, and overall circumstances of an individual patient. Almost 17,000 men this year will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in Australia. Survival rates are increasing due to improved detection and treatment. He said he hoped that after treatment, clinicians would initiate frank conversations about sexual functions. He said he hoped they'd set out realistic expectations for recovery and refer men to the counselling that they need. Okay, the Cancer Council of New South Wales, they're good ones to contact. But what it is, you must seek another opinion. Now, this is probably the case with all surgery, but particularly here. Get a second and maybe even a third opinion if you want to. Prostate cancer is not always straightforward, and there are a lot of different treatment options. I know from my friends who've had it, different reactions, different treatments. Okay, an interesting article there on prostate cancer. For fellas, at least make sure you get a second opinion. Well, with all the changes in COVID now, you need to know what's going on. Well, here we have a good article. It's short but to the point. COVID-19 queries, question mark? The older person's COVID-19 support line had expanded to reach out to non-English speaking residents. The government funded the hotline. It's received an extra $2.5 million to support culturally and linguistically diverse communications. It will now run until the end of June next year. It gives seniors, their carers, and families information about COVID-19. It's targeted to support vulnerable people at greater risk of isolation. It will help carers and anybody with questions about COVID-19 in any language. The expanded service will now include outbound calls to carers of people living with dementia. As well, it'll look at more specific community supports for elders and seniors. In the 7 months from mid-April to mid-October, the support line received more than 5,000 calls. They made more than 29,000 outbound calls. The top five reasons for these calls were well-being checks, information about COVID-19, advice to vulnerable people, travel restrictions, and access to home care services. Now, I'm coming back in a moment with a telephone number, so maybe a pencil and paper. So this is the COVID-19 query line. All languages, multilingual, as those Americans would say. The number? 1-800-171-866. That number again? 1-800-171-866. The COVID query line. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Now, one of the main reasons why this program is brought to you is because of the generous sponsorship of Seniors Rights. It's a wonderful organization that offers free legal advice and, in many cases, free legal representation. Now, it's not just elder abuse, it's violence, it's your money, it's your will, your property. You've got to be careful, particularly as we age. Not just carers either, but your family. Pretty easy. You just type in simply Seniors Rights. Now, we're going to tell you a bit more about this. This is one phone number and address that you should take down. So if you can get a pencil and paper, we'll come back in a moment and give you the details. Seniors Rights Service. Now, they've produced a range of printed materials and videos. These can be downloaded. They also refer to them in their education sessions and events. Many of the general brochures have also been designed with the priority that populations in mind. For example, they've got a multilingual brochure. It outlines services. They've got one for LGBT and a booklet, as well as a brochure that was developed for Aboriginal communities. This enables them to communicate in what they do in culturally appropriate ways. Now, Seniors Rights encourage you to view some of their videos, as well as look at their resources kit. Together, they cover a wide range of legal issues. Issues to do with abuse, discrimination, many other relevant vulnerabilities and initiatives with the ageing. All right, how do you contact them? We said before, simply type in Seniors Rights. That'll get it there. There's a phone number, 1-800-424-079. Now, for any legal problems that you may have at all, give them a call, whether it be body corporate, aged care facilities, friends, families, elder abuse, as we said, anything at all, they will help you. They'll certainly give you advice. Now, I'm just going to say those details again. The phone number, 1-800-424-079, or just simply type in Seniors Rights and all the information will come up. Listening to Optimal Life. It's a program especially for us older ones. Okay, next in the program, we're going to look at the best retirement hobbies. Now, with COVID-19 around, we've all probably got a little more spare time. We're not out doing too much. We're going to look at hobbies and how they can help us. Retirement can be a shock to the system. The job that once kept us busy for at least 40 hours a week is gone. With it, for some people, your sense of purpose goes. A good idea for retirees is to build up a list of hobbies. Now, we surveyed 1,000 people, and the retirement pastimes are all rich in two or more of the four key dimensions that come out in the main poll. Many of these are a big part of your life. What other hobby ideas do newly retired folks want to add to their list? Well, there's a few here. We're going to look at online learning. Genealogy is another one. Gardening, that's not for everybody, but if you can, well, it's a good pastime. Birding. Now, there you are. Anyone can go birding, I suppose. Just go for a walk down to the park. But better that you get out in the bush. Foreign language study. All right, first up, online learning. Mobility issues, travel restrictions, budget or time constraints may make your opportunities for international learning and travel a challenge. But you don't have to leave the front door to continue your journey of lifelong learning in retirement. There are countless online lectures, educational programs, courses designed for seniors. These can take you to occupy and expand your mind even when you don't have the ability or the budget to learn about the world in person. Another one is volunteering. One top-line retirement hobby is volunteering. It's good for the body and it's good for the soul. There's highly social outcomes in 1,000 forms. Maybe work in a museum. You'll have daily opportunities to learn something new there. Volunteer at an arts centre where you can find and often have free access to performances. One retiree told us about the hobby in working in a men's prison in California. He was counselling the inmates there on a carer development program. He said he learned so much from his studies while deepening his commitment to prison reform. Another volunteer said she went to the National Underground Railway Freedom Centre. There she enjoyed conveying the important lessons about courage, cooperation and perseverance. It was mostly unsung heroes, she said, who brought about positive changes. You can even combine your service with an educational learning adventure for yourself. Our next heading is genealogy. With the abundant internet resources, the advent of other digital tools, genealogy has perhaps never been more popular. It makes it one of the Rhodes Scholar's top hobbies for retirement. Now, Rhodes is spelled R-O-A-D. One newly retired Rhodes Scholar said that she thought some research would take about 3 months. It's taken her on a trip for the last 8 years. She said, "I am amazed by my ancestors. I've found out about their lives, written their stories," she said. "It's changed my life and the knowledge about this country and Europe. Some of my trips included areas my ancestors have lived in. It made these trips come alive with history. The trips that are so personal, they touch me to the core." We're going to look next at the hobby of gardening. It's good for the body, the brain, and the soul, and it's a great idea for retirement. It's also a great hobby for seniors to do at home. Add this popular pastime to your retirement hobbies list. You'll get exercise. If you grow veggies, you'll eat more healthily. One retiree wrote, "I'm a biologist by training, and the biology of a garden is always a learning experience." Another one writes, "Communing in nature enhances the spiritual side of my being." Then there's the hobby of birding. "I can't add anything to what this Rhodes Scholar writes," she says. It's, quote, "I used to be a fairly strong hiker, but as I got older, I started to slow down. Not just because I was aging, but because I no longer saw the need to compete like a hike in quick time. I started to notice more. Then I became a birder." Birding is a perfect activity for older people. You get outside, you walk, you can go by yourself or with a group. You have exercise, your reflexes sharpen up. You focus on a bird and your mind try to identify that bird. Birding is an excellent hobby for any senior or retired person. And of course, foreign language study, well, I guess this needs no further explanation, but it's good for the brain. They say it's another fun thing to do when you retire, learn a foreign language. Don't fall for the trap that learning a foreign language is only a young person's game. While youth has some advantages, older people bring something special to the task. Namely, they focus and they have a genuine commitment of learning about what children often lack. You still don't believe me? Well, listen to what a Rhodes Scholar retiree says. "I've gone back to school. I'm almost 82 years old, and I'm earning a bachelor degree. I'm studying Latin and Greek." And the final one we're going to look at is writing. Eric Erickson, an eminent psychologist who carefully mapped the stages of human life, wrote the seventh stage. He said it's marked by conflict between stagnation and generativity. Generativity means leaving something of value to future generations, whether by changing the world or passing on stories. Pass it to one children, grandchildren, and so on. Writing is a great tool for generativity. Many seniors who've written memoirs have pumped into other games on writing. He said, "I've written and published a memoir. I began as a student. It was an amazing journey that continues. I've discovered that I have a keen writing style and definitely have stories to tell. I've begun my second book and a novel as well." Other survey respondents said they wrote poems, raps for special occasions. They did historical biographies, performances, scripts for local historical societies. One wrote, "When I don't write, I get cranky." Well, looking there at some of the hobbies you might like to do in retirement, foreign language, birding was a great one. It gets you out and it's good for the mind as well. Gardening. And they had writing was a good one too. Genealogy, study your family history, you learn so much. And the other one there was volunteering, probably one of the better. And I like that bit at the end, the bloke doing the writing, he said, "When I don't write, I get cranky." You with Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Now, just following on from that last article who said healthy things to do, we're going to now look at plants that are healthy for you and what benefits they have. This came off the net. It's simply benefits for your physical and mental health. There's no doubt that plants are good for us. They make our homes and gardens look attractive and colourful. They give us a sense of purpose. They bring nature into urban environments. However, did you know that studies have shown that plants can be beneficial for both physical and mental health? From the humble marigold to the popular aloe vera, we delve into the benefits of the top tips for making the most of them. Well, let's look at a few of these plants. Firstly, aloe vera. This fleshy, succulent plant is a popular indoor plant and its well is in the garden. That's because it's low maintenance. It thrives in a range of climates. In addition, aloe vera has been used for thousands of years as a natural remedy. Originating in the Arabian Peninsula, it is said to contain powerful antioxidants. It's also antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. Aloe vera has many benefits. It can be used to heal burns, treat psoriasis or eczema, reduce constipation, reduce dental plaque buildup, speed up recovery of mouth ulcers and treat acne. To use aloe vera on the skin, snap off the leaf and rub the liquid that oozes out from its base onto the affected area. Speak to your doctor first and do a skin test if you have any allergies before using it over large areas. All right, how to care for the aloe vera? Well, it's pretty easy. It thrives in filtered light rather than direct sunlight. The soil should be left to dry out slightly before deeply watering. Next, we're going to look at the peace lily. It derives its name from its flower, which resembles the white flag of surrender. The main benefit of having a peace lily or two in your home is that they are said to remove harmful toxins from the air. Also, they increase humidity levels. This promotes better breathing, relieves irritated throats and noses, and acts as a natural air freshener. Well, how to use a peace lily? Peace lily will thrive almost anywhere in your home. That includes in the rooms where the ambient light is medium to low. Note that its flowers do produce some pollen and a light floral scent. And finally, we're going to look at the snake plant. It's from the tropics of West Africa. Also goes by the rather cheeky name, mother-in-law's tongue. Studies have shown this plant emits oxygen while you sleep. Snake plants also remove harmful things from the air. Formaldehyde, trichloroethylene, benzene. This improves your breathing for a better night's rest. We're looking at some great healthy plants there. Aloe vera, snake plant, and the peace lily. Well, that's about all we've got time for in the program today. I hope that you have enjoyed it. Just like to mention before we go again, our sponsor, Seniors Rights, where they offer free legal advice to older people. They'll even represent you sometimes, but certainly they'll give you advice. There's a lot of different things that might be the aged care home, the body corporate, your money. Friends and relations can try and get to your money. They've got a special section there for LGBT and an interpreter service as well. They look at your rights, your voice to be heard. There's legal, advocacy, education, and it's free and confidential. Your will, your property, and not just carers, your family too. It's pretty simple. Type in seniors' rights or give them a call, 1-800-424-079. If ever you'd like to comment on this program, please give me a call anytime, 02-9518-8811. Just ask for Dave Jeffrey, leave a message. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our Christmas New Year program of Optimal Life. All the very best for the festive season, and let's hope that 2021 is a whole lot better than this year. Bye for now. Look forward to your company again soon.